Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
To Turner's Take Podcast. I am your host, Craig Turner, author of Turner's Take Newsletter. You can find me on the web at turnerstake.com. And if you're a farmer, turnerstakeag.com. I work with online traders, hedgers, broker-assisted, speculators, whatever it may be. If you have any questions or want to contact me, all my information is in the show notes. Let's talk quick about the Fed today. We had a Fed announcement. They raised interest rates a quarter point, and they also revised GDP up higher. Raising an interest rate usually keeps inflation in check. Not so great for commodity prices. I wouldn't say it's bearish, but definitely neutral. It's not bullish. But the increase in the GDP, that was better. And that's good to see. There were some concerns about that. So that probably, if you probably more bullish than bearish from the Fed, just because the driver for GDP is more important than them raising interest rates a quarter point. Alrighty, so we are gonna have planting intentions next week for the grain markets. I think the most, you know, since we talked last week, corn is down. Let's see, May corn finished about 375. You know, we were about 355 in January, went to almost 395 in the beginning of March, so 40 cents higher. Here we are at 375. So that's 20 cents. That is a 20 cent kind of a 50% retracement level. I'm not really surprised. You know, the market really drove the corn prices up. During the South American issues, they did lose crop more, so the world bound carryout balance sheets will go down. More exports are going to come to the U.S. We're probably at a 2.1 billion old crop carryout right now, probably closer to 2 billion. You know, after the USDA does their next WASDE, that's where we expect it to be. And yeah, old crop in May at 375, and I want to say new crop was at about, let's take a look here. New crop in D's around 395. That kind of makes sense in that $3.95 to $4 range. So that seems like a fair price as we head into planting intentions. Now, whether it be soybeans or corn, the weather story in South America is over. What damage is done is done. Now it's really just left to count up the bushels and see what we have. As far as a U.S. potential U.S. weather story, that can't really happen yet. I mean, for wheat, it's been it definitely has been a weather market in the United States. But for corn and soybeans, you know, we really have to get, you know, unless it's really dry, which it isn't. We even got some moisture over the weekend. It's going to be all about planting progress and how much we get in, how many acres of each commodity is going in. So the first big catalyst to come out for corn and soybeans is going to be on Thursday when we get planting intentions. The Ag Forum in February said basically 90 million corn, 90 million soybeans. We thought it should be lower, maybe 89, 91. A lot of the analysts right now are coming out between 88 and 89 for corn, 90, 91. I've seen as high as 92 for soybeans. That 92 million and above a trend line yield would be a bearish figure for beans if that's what it ends up being at the end of the fall here. Anything below 89 million acres for corn, my opinion, is bullish. So the reason being is at 89 million acres and a 175 yield, we pretty much produce what I think we're going to use in export next year. So if I think we're gonna, right now we're trading and going to be about a 2 billion carryout for corn, old crop, at 89 million acres for new crop at around a trend line yield, which should come in around 175. I think we're still at a 2 billion. So if that number comes out next Thursday and it's below 89 million acres, you know, if it's 88 million, you know, we got to take off another 175 in corn from carryouts. So maybe we're at 1.825 or something like that. If we're at 87 million acres, which I can't see, but let's just say we were, you know, now we're going from my projections of a 2 billion carryout for the new crop to something closer to 1.6 to 1.7. I mean, and those are, that now all of a sudden we're talking a very bullish scenario for corn, where old crop could start running towards 4, new crop can start, that would probably be 20 cents higher or something like that. New crop can go to 4.20 or whatever it may be. So that's something we'll have to continue to monitor. But I think what, you know, in the beginning of the year when I was writing my corn outlook reports, one of the things I do with those supply and demand tables is let everyone know what are realistic potential range of prices based on supply, demand, the carry-in we're taking, and where we can end up at the end of the year. And because of the losses in South America, the ranges for possible prices are getting higher. So if we do have a 2 billion carryout for old crop, if we're at 89 million acres, if we got a trend line yield, we're kind of be right around prices we are here. But if all of a sudden we're talking 88, 87 million acres and we have weather issues, then we're really going to start having potential for higher prices this spring and summer when we do get weather markets. So something we'll have to talk about. So my bias is definitely neutral to bullish going forward. I still like our straddles. I mean, one of our hedges that we've been doing with new crop corn is selling $4 straddles on the Dease. And I think what we're going to do before the planting intentions is probably hedge that just a little bit with some out of the money July corn calls, just in case we get a big big price increase, we'll be covered there. And it'll be a fraction of what we sold the straddles for. So I think that would be a smart way to play it going forward. Otherwise, we'll stick to our cash marketing guns. We're going to look for higher prices to do cash marketing. We're only 30% sold. I don't like to get more than 20 or 30% sold before planting. I don't mind doing it ahead of time because we could have perfect weather in the United States. You never know. Or you know what? The damage done in South America might not be as bad as you think. Would not be the first time for the trade to think, you know, we really lost a ton of yield, only to find out that it wasn't as bad as we think, and we start hearing reports of higher yields than, actually, that just happened recently, you know, and, you know, with the seed technology and getting a rain here and there, it's amazing what it can do for crops now. So that's another thing to consider, too. So that's going to be our strategy with corn going forward. I'm still a believer in soybeans can be $8 to $12. I got to tell you, if we are at 91 million acres beans or higher, my outlook's going to go from neutral to bearish, just realizing that we could go up 50 cents to a dollar higher just on a summer rally and fun money, but by the end of harvest, we could be a dollar to a dollar 50 lower. I think we have to, on the next rally, we got to look at put spreads for soybeans. I still like making cash sales, and if we want to re-own, we can do it on the spread market. And I'm particularly liking July NOV. If that gets back down to zero, I think if you need to sell old crop, or even if you wanted to sell the new crop at some point, if you can get July NOV spread at zero, I think that would be a worthwhile re-ownership play in soybeans. Even if you sell the cash old crop, I think that'd be a worthwhile play on re-ownership on a summer rally, just in case that would happen. So that's how we're going to look at that. The wheat market has really taken a big turn here. I mean, May wheat, Kansas City at one point was at 544 just a few weeks ago, and here we're at 466. I mean, it's come down 80 cents in a couple of weeks. And, you know, these rains, they always say, you know, wheat has nine lives. You get a timely rain in March, and it can really improve the crop. And that's what the market's trading right now. So we'll see if that's true. We'll get a crop conditions report at the end of the month. Obviously, the market's looking for better crop conditions to be reported at the end of the month. If not, if you know the rain, if wheat was already too far gone, and they say the conditions are not good, we'll probably make another run up higher into the fives for the hard red wheat. But for right now, we're at 466, 467, and that's just going to be where we are until we get bullish news. Is not coming out of the demand market, and we still have a ton of supply. So it's going to have to be that crop conditions report. So stay tuned for that. Going to come out at the end of the month. The one way I did like playing the wheat market for a while was buying Kansas City and selling Chicago. I think you kind of got to stay away from that for a while. Maybe we'll find some support in that spread here now that we're down to close to 10 cents. But it has been amazing how we were, back in October, we were minus 10 cents in the May contracts, got all the way up to 40 over, and here we are back to 12. So that has been a wild ride, too. As we set up for spring, I do think it makes sense to look for some low-risk ways to try to take a bullish position in corn. I think meal might be meal over oil might be an interesting play. If we do have a drought, if we do have a lot of demand coming in, or the South America continue as issues, and we need meal, especially Argentina, we may be crushing because meal prices are going higher, and that's just going to add to the oil supply. So meal over oil could do well, but we're going to need, the only way to really get into something like that is we need real evidence of a meal recovery. If meal stays down here and doesn't really bounce, or we don't start seeing better crush or better demand, or more Argentina issues, then that wouldn't make a whole lot of sense. But if we do, then the meal over oil, I think, is going to make a lot more sense too. In terms of, the carryout, right now we're looking at 189 once, well, in terms of for corn, just to give a little quick recap here. Planting acres, 89 million acres. Yield, 175. That gets us a production of about 14.3 billion. With my numbers for next year, for new crop corn, we're going to have, that's about what we're going to use in export. So, if we get, just to give you an idea, if we get 91 million acres and a 175 yield, we're going to have about 2.4 billion carryout. But if we get an 87 million acres and a 175 yield, we've got about a 1.7 carryout. And then, it's not, corn's probably fairly priced where we are, but just to give you an idea on those acreage numbers, one Thursday, when they release that number, if 89,175 is basically the 2 billion point, if they say 91, then we're talking about a 2.4 carryout. If they say 87, we're talking about 1.7 carryout. And, that could be a big deal. 2.4 billion carryout, we're making a run towards 350 again. A 1.7 carryout, we're making a run probably towards 425. With the corn prices. So something we definitely gotta keep an eye on. So that is, and I like, and I'm going to be writing about for the rest of this week and into next week too, kind of ways to play that, and also have a little bit of coverage into the positions and the hedges we have as we go into that report. We're not going to see new crop estimates from the USDA until May. That is when the USDA releases supply and demand for the new crop. So we've got the WASD to go in April, which will still only show the old crop numbers, and then in the May we'll see the new crop numbers, which can sometimes, even if the trade is expecting a bullish or bearish number, I always get the feeling it's never really fully priced in. It can still surprise the market, even if we're expecting it to go the way we thought it would. So that is where we are. If anyone's got any questions, everyone wants to talk about what we're doing with our marketing plan, pretty much done for the quarter. On our cash marketing side, we're not going to do it anymore until we get into spring planning, and probably well into it. We can still use the board, and we are, for both futures and options, to kind of play around, and around these reports, and either hedge against or buy a little bit back based on existing cash sales. And that's how we're going to do it. You can hope everyone has a great rest of their week. You can always contact me at 800-958-9470 or email me at cturner@danielstrading. All my contact information is in the show notes. And if you go to the website, you can always request the newsletter too. All right. Thanks very much.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.